Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you wherever you may be. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Once again, God bless you. I pray that your Monday was refreshing. Amen. Was full of joy, full of accomplishment. And just in case it was a headache, it was burdensome. Know this, it's almost over. So you got a new day coming. You get to start over again. You get to throw your hands up and tell God just thank you for making it through. That's right. Tell God thank you. The Bible says, in all things give thanks. So regardless whether the day was good or bad, just say, God, I thank you. I made it to the end. Amen. Well, God bless all of you. We want to say hello to the Six Eyes Radio Network team. We want to say God bless you, Brother Six, Minister Missionary Ken, and the rest of the gang. Amen. We have some wonderful team members here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We are blessed to be able to work together in different cities. Amen. And so God has truly blessed us to have a wonderful fellowship and a great experience in this fellowship. Brother Charles, are you with me on this evening? I believe I have you unlocked.
Yes, I am, Pastor. Thanks for having me here on Motivational Monday. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I need you to go to your other voice.
I'm sorry, my other voice. Hey, how you doing, everyone? How you doing, Pastor Bonnet?
There we go. Yeah, they speed up the microphone. You know, that was that slow mo.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey. How's it going?
I'm going good. Going good. Amen. I think we have Missionary Ken on the line. We got several others. Hey, if you like to say hello, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll see your hand lifted up there, and we'll open up your mic as we get started tonight. Want everyone to have an opportunity.
Please don't be shy.
Just to say hello.
Yeah,
hello,
don't be shy. Press 1.
Good evening.
God bless you. How you doing?
Good evening. All right.
Sitting back here
everybody.
In the bedroom laughing because of something I did before we went on the air.
You behave yourself. You behave yourself. We got company with us today. We got company. All right. Anyone else? Someone else say hello. Amen. We have.
Howdy, Garris.
That sounds like none other than Missionary Ken. He said howdy.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, sir. I am thankful that I made it to the end of the day. And as soon as this program over, I'm going to get something to eat. But right now, I'm going to have to hold on.
Amen. All right, we have one more that wants to speak. Hello, welcome to Motivational Monday.
Hello, good evening. My name is AJ.
All right, AJ, God bless you. Thank you for being with us on this evening. Hopefully something that is said will encourage you in your faith and walk with God today. And we'll get into all of that a little bit later on. We got a few more music songs that we're going to play. But AJ, welcome to the program. Anyone
thank you.
Else?
I appreciate your welcome.
Yeah.
Thank
now,
you,
Pastor
sir.
Bonnet, AJ is the newest member of the Six Eyes Radio team. He does
right.
Saturdays. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you for being for allowing God to exercise your gift on this platform. Amen. And so we look forward Matter of fact, let's pause for a moment. You say on Saturday. Give us a little bit of the preview of what Saturday will be like.
Well, currently 11:30 to usually 1:30 every Saturday night, Six Eyes, a radio network. I will more than most likely be co-hosting. I'm currently putting a team together. So right now what's going to happen is going to be a surprise. So you have to tune in if you want to know what's going to happen on the most popular radio station out here.
There you go. And that is from 11 p.m. or 11 a.m.?
11 p.m., sir.
That's all
11:30.
Right.
11:30 p.m. Saturday night.
Amen. And that will be Eastern Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That means on Saturday evening, Saturday night, rather, you get to go to a whole nother level on Saturday night before we get to the Six Eyes Gospel Show on Sunday. So, hey, tune in to listen to AJ on Saturdays. I tell you, we got it all here. Matter of fact, since we have Brother Six with us, Brother Six, we have some wonderful listeners that many have been donating and contribution, but we have other platforms where they can just listen to the Six Eyes Radio Network any given time, on demand, as it would be. Give us that information.
That's right. That's right, Pastor. Okay, so you go to your podcast portion on your Android, your iPhone, the app, podcast. In the search, you want to type in Six Eyes, that is S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. In the top right corner, press subscribe, and you will have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. And put this number in your phone. The number to the Six Eyes Radio Network is 424-243-9617. Once again, that is 424-243-9617. And we thank you, our surrounding cities and states, our faraway countries. This is Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Now back to the show.
Amen, amen, amen. And later on in the show, we're going to have Missionary Ken talk about the Bibles for the blind. Amen. And so he'll be coming on with that in a little bit. Right now, we just want to keep it moving. Here's a song by Isaac Carey called Right Now. Hey.
I've been going through way too long. I can't believe I'm still holding on. Been trying hard to increase my faith, but it feels like it's way too late. The preacher said it's already done. If I believe in Jesus the Son, I got a feeling that it might be right. I'm in the tunnel, but I see the light. I can't repeat this fine goal again. Feel I didn't deserve. Still I know it came to make me stronger, but I don't wanna deal with it no longer. Today I wipe these tears from my eyes. I appreciate this gift called life. I can't repeat this cycle.
sing it.
Right now. Right now. Right now. Things are changing right now.
Right now.
Right now.
My past is over.
Right now.
Future looks much brighter.
Right now.
Because
positive in your life. You got to know how to allow God to motivate you to the next level, to propel you to the next level by the things that come out of your mouth. They are positive. They are purposeful. They're not self-afflicting. Amen. Once again, every now and then I have to remind you of my statement of faith as a Pentecostal preacher of the Church of God in Christ. To those of you that have joined the program before, you've heard me say this. To all our new listeners, I am an ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ in good standing. Amen. And we have an affirmation of faith. I think it's very important that when you join with a ministry that you understand their principal statement, that you understand what they believe in even their mission. Amen. I think all of these things are very important. As you are yoked together with a ministry so that you can be a part of the ministry and feel fulfilled in that ministry. And later on tonight, we're going to be talking about the church and we're going to be doing a orientation for new believers and those that are young in Christ. So we're going to talk about a few things. But just to give you the affirmation of faith, once again, we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. We're talking about the original scriptures in their original writing in their original language. Amen. We know translations are just that, translated. And based on the people that translate it, the translation is more accurate to that particular language based on the education and the ability of those that made the translation. Amen. And we as a church, especially in the Pentecostal church, many Baptist churches, we stick to the King James Scripture, not because we think it's the most perfect translation, but because it allows us to speak one language. It keeps us in unity. And so being in unity, if I quote a scripture and you hear it, you'll know it came out of the King James Version of the Bible because of the way you heard it. And you would know that it was right, and you would be able to associate with it as we encourage one another as we walk this Christian journey. So once again, from the top, we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. We believe there's one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and answer believing prayers. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is able to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. Hey, have you been waiting on something to happen? And you're almost getting discouraged? Well, don't be discouraged. We don't want you to be discouraged. We want you to be encouraged. Hold on. Change is coming. Hold on. It's going to happen.
You got to hear before it happens. Believe before it happens. Receive before it happens. You got to know. It's going to happen. So it won't be. But God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see. But God said this one's on me. But God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh God said, hold me, gotta
gonna happen. Oh, as to we
amen, amen. It's going to happen. Amen. For some of us, it's already happened. The Bible says over in Revelation, it gives this outline. It says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I love that part of the scripture because I use it to apply that my testimony can encourage someone in their faith walk with God. Matter of fact, the lifestyle that I live, the testimony that I share, can be the persuading factor in why someone else receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And even my testimony to those that are already saved encourage them to hold on, to keep on keeping on, to march on, to be all that they can be, to know that they bad days are not going to win over their good days. Amen. And so we have a section that called testimony service. Yes, yes, yes. I know it's dangerous in these days because people say anything and they can say some of everything. But let me share just quickly how we testify on this program. We don't get up and talk 5 minutes, but we rat to the point. We don't highlight all the gore, all the bad. We don't highlight that. We tell us just a small portion of it. And we put more of the emphasis on the things that God done. That's how we give testimony. We give testimony by sharing what God has done through us, in us, for us, around us. We share that so we share hope with one another. The Bible tells us forbearing one another. And so when we testify, we encourage others that if God was good to you, if God bless you, he's still the same God. He's still blessing. And since he has no respect of person, he's going to bless me too. And it gives me hope. And so at this moment, there's a little song I like to sing. And I haven't opened up nobody mics yet, so... But I'm about to open up your mics in just a moment here. I'm going to open up all the lines. So if you have a testimony, I want you to have an opportunity to share your testimony with the world. That's right, with the world, because we are all over the world right now. Amen. So God has blessed this platform to touch many, many nations, and we're thankful. So we want to put our best foot forward as we share the goodness of God in our life. There's a song that I grew up with back in the Church of God. They used to sing this song, I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify. While I have a chance, oh, I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is open. All the lines
amen.
Are open. If you like to testify and share with somebody about the goodness of God in your life, please.
Well, I would like to thank God for all he does and continue to do for me each and every day. He's helping me with the passing of my mom. So he's helping me in that. And I know when I smile, she smiles. When I drink coffee, she drinks coffee. And I made the woke list. And I'm still moving on, working like she would want me to do. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful testimony. And let me get a shout out before the next person comes to testimony. I just want to shout out And we just want to say thank you for all of those. I normally do this before, but we want to thank those that called in on tonight. We want to tell area code 858, thank you for calling in. Stay tuned. We're going to share some good things. We want to tell area code 828, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Area code 216, thank you for calling in. Area code 440, thank you for calling in. And area code 901, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Amen. Next person that has a testimony that would love to share. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. And as always, he's been there when I needed him. And just giving a testimony of how well he's been helping me along with this Bible that we're getting ready for those that have real severe vision problems that are legally blind or what they call legal blind. And it's a 24-point print Bible that we've been working on. We've officially, out of the 1,189 chapters of the Bible, we just cleared the 267th chapter out of the 1,189 chapters of the Bible. We cleared 267 today.
Amen. Amen.
So
that's
the
good
trick is, does Pastor Bonnet know where we cleared?
You said what? How many chapters did you clear?
267.
Well, that'll put you 67. Also, you know,
200,
Leviticus.
267.
Yeah, so that means I believe you should be in the book of Numbers now, I guess.
We well past Numbers.
You say 200? Yeah, so y'all got the Deuteronomy?
267 puts us at the end of 1 Samuel.
What?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Y'all moving. That means y'all don't got the good story about Sister Ruth and also Ruth done passed Ruth.
Yep. So we've been moving along quite well. So that's our praise report, that we're moving along quite nicely on this Bible. And just wanted to give a praise report on that, that yes, we're moving along quite nicely. And I thought everybody would like to hear that on Motivational Monday. But we got Pastor Bonnet on that one. He was off on which book we completed. We are up there 267 chapters, which puts us at the end of 1 Samuel.
All right, all right. That is great news. Amen. And to our listeners, it's amazing. So many people still don't have Bibles today. Even though there are Bible apps that you can download on your smart devices for free, there's still it's recorded to be about 1 billion people that still do not have a Bible translated in their language. So programs like what Missionary Ken has, and we're going to come back to him at a later point, giving him opportunity to give you some information how that you may be able to donate to that program of his, Bibles for the Blind. And he'll give that to you a little bit later on in the program. But there are a lot of people that still don't have the Bible written in their native language. And so there's countless programs out there trying to still translate the Bible, which is translating the original scriptures, to the language that people speak. Because that is a massive undertaking. And here we heard Missionary Ken, he's not translating, he's just transforming, I guess you would say, or striving, writing down, copying from a regular print to a giant, huge print, so someone who is sight challenged may be able to read.
Transforming is the right word. That's a good word for it. Transforming it from smaller print to bigger.
Amen. And so giving them an opportunity to read the word, to feel comfortable.
And Pastor Bonnet, you know, the scripture says, Paul said, and speaking of people who do not have the word of God in their hands, he says, I speak this to your shame. He says, some have not the word of truth, and I speak this to your shame.
Excuse me, Pastor Bonnet, there's other people, so if we've already spoken, please mute the mic. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else that like to give a testimony? Amen.
Yeah, I ended up going for a walk today, and then it started to rain. And since I don't have an umbrella that works right now, it just broke. I'm running around, and I praise the Lord that I got the things done I wanted to get done and get back. And even though I was wet, I praise the Lord. I had a dryer to put my stuff in and dry out. So just praise the Lord for everything he's done for me.
Amen. Thank God that he kept you safe. You didn't get the get sick from the rain, and that you were able to make it there and back safely. Amen. But that's good for you, being able to walk around, to get around. Amen. We know your circumstances, so many may not know that you was challenged with walking. And so it is a testimony to hear that you are able to walk to get the things that you need to get done. Amen. Anyone else that has a testimony? All the lines are open at the very moment.
I just would like to say, Ms. AJ, I just want to say that I'm thankful to be blessed, highly favored, in God's grace. You know, my life was going bad, and a lot of things have changed for the better, and I'm thankful for that. He put Mr. Six in my life. He's given me opportunity, you know, like I said, to change my life for the better, for my family, and for my friends. So, you know, it's been a point in time where me and God have separated, and me and God are very close, and I'm glad and thankful to have my faith restored.
Amen, amen, amen. That is a wonderful testimony, and we're quite sure that those that will join you on Saturday evening, late Saturday evening, we may get to hear some more of your life testimonies as you do the things that God's going to allow you to do on that program. Amen. And so we look forward to it. Amen. Anyone else with a testimony at this moment?
Pastor Bonnet.
There she is. How you doing, Sister Emily? God bless you.
You know, I want to thank God. I believe it was this week, wasn't it, Six, that you Ken interviewed me about the drug issue?
Yes, that was this past Thursday, yes.
Well, all I can say is I thank God for 17 years away from hard, illicit drugs that I was on 17 years ago.
Amen. Wow. 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 That's amazing. There's a lot of people in our society now that have self-medicated. And something about self-medication, we do it to feel good. We do it to escape the moment. We do it to numb life, and so many reasons that we could probably add to that list. But it's a blessing to know that all we really need is Jesus. All we really need is God in our life. I got a song for you all that may bless you in that area. Thank you for your testimony. Get your Bibles ready. We'll be back. We're in Ephesians tonight, and we'll move forward with that teaching.
All I need is you.
Oh, 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 oh.
in my time zone when my mind's gone and I'm flying home and I'm stressed out and I'm tempted to get that spy phone and go pull it up, but you know what's up and you know that ain't gonna solve nothing. I mean, Lord forbid, I might fall or something and I'm all another cause
all I need is you.
So hold me down like bitch strapped to the psych ward. It's killing me, but you still with me when I fight hard and
all I need is you.
You digging me when I'm egging you. Deal with me when my car's pulled. Could've dealt with me, but you fell for me before I fell for you. Keep me on that right path and the right math. It's you plus nothing's everything. You my everything, same. You ain't gotta question my allegiance. Cause the way you love me, I could never leave. I need you.
By my side, thick and thin, high and low, don't let go.
Did I fall in this? No condition that get a mention, but you all for this. Unconditional love, I swear I sell it all for this. Trying to keep it together, forgive my awkwardness. But often it's just you and me often this. Valley of shadows, and I know they trying to pick me off in this. But all I need is you. It's funny just how off I get when I ain't riding with you. No adjectives for your awesomeness. They burning one for that burnout. This life ain't got them all turned out. Took time out to put time in, so I turn to you when I want out. Need is you. You slow me down, cause you know me now. With my phony smile, and I'm acting like it's all copacetic. It's so pathetic, so juvenile.
Know what you do? You keep me cool in the summer when they be dressing less and I be wanting to show up and stunt. But there ain't nothing to want. You give me all that I need.
All I need is you to keep that fire burning for me. All I need is you.
By my side, thick and thin, high and low. Don't let go.
Don't give up now. I am waiting for my change to come, and I know.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Ty Tribbett, for that wonderful song. Amen. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Amen. That encouraged all of us to know that God has no shortage of blessings. Amen. If he's been good to you before, guess what? He's going to be good to you again. Once again tonight, I want to open up talking to new believers. Whether you're new, brand new, or whether you just haven't really dived all the way into the Bible and learned the things of the Bible and what church is for, what the church is all about. And you want to be part of a church, you want to be part of a ministry, and do you have those different questions? And so sometimes there's misunderstanding, the purpose of the church, and so on. Many people think going to church is actually the service, that you're actually serving God just by going to church. But from the teachings that I will be teaching, we're going to teach that going to church is actual preparation for serving God. And so we're going to bring clarity to so many things. Now, this is just one day. We have just another hour left in this program. So we will not be able to cover the massive of things that we can talk about. So we're going to talk about a few things at a time, and we're going to allow it just to grow. So once again, we want to focus on to develop a positive perspective about the church. Have been discouraged because some have gone to certain churches and been church hurt because you had certain expectations, and instead of finding a different church or a different ministry to join or to yoke up with, you stopped going altogether. And we don't want you to stop. The Bible does tell us to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. I heard somebody say, you don't have to go to church to serve God. I heard that. I was in a hardware store, and two men was talking about that. And it's amazing to me, tone of the conversation. Once upon a time, it was, I need to go to church. People had the sense of urgency about getting to the house of prayer. Now, certain teachings have given people false understanding of why we go to church, why we worship the Lord. Well, Brother Preacher, well, what about, and I know you're going to jump ahead of me with this thought, what about those that can't get to church? What about those that are disabled and they're not able to come to church? And my response to those that have questions like that is, do you understand what is the church? See, the people that says you don't have to go to church to serve God don't understand that And the scripture says, know ye not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit whose you are. So if my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, then my body is the church of God. Wow. I know you said it. I'm going to say it for you. Wow. That means your body, when you are a born-again believer, your body becomes the church. And it's unfortunate that some teachings out there, transformation. The word says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you're not to stay in the same condition. If you was a liar, you're not supposed to lie no more. You was an adulterer, you're not supposed to do that no more. When Christ comes into your life, he becomes not just your Savior, but your Lord. That means you dedicate yourself to him. But somebody taught this wrong, and that is that you can be the master of your own fate, master of your own destiny. And it was probably said in the beginning with well intentions of motivating you to do better. But that small wrong put a lot of people wrong. What wrong? Master. How can I be my master? My own master. Because if I'm my own master, no man, the Bible says, can serve two masters. So if I'm my master, then what is God? I'm giving you some food to think about. Think about that the next time you think that you don't have to go to church to serve God, then if you're not the church, question to you is, can you say before God that you're actually serving him? The Bible records that many on the last day shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we did this. And God said, he going to say unto them, depart from me, ye that practice iniquity. That worketh iniquity, excuse me. For I know you not. So we want to develop a positive perspective about the church. We want to affirm to new members and members alike the decision to join a church or ministry, to be partner up with a group of people that are ministering to the world. After all, the Great Commission is not the Great Suggestion. It is the Great Commission. And that is given to all believers, not just the leaders of the church. So my purpose is to teach fundamentals. Okay? If it sounds elementary, what I'm saying, it's on purpose. If it sounds so simple, what I'm saying, it's on purpose. Okay? I'm not trying to be complex, and I'm not trying to be deep. Because serving God, loving God, is simple. God did not make it hard to love him. God did not give us 99 rules, and if we break one, he throws us away. No, that's not the intention of God. That is not the purpose of God concerning man. And that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is similar to that of a hospital. But that's not its only function. So let's move on. So in our word today, let's look at Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Let me turn to it myself. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, we're going to highlight verses 11 and 12. But allow me to back up to verse 4. So that I may set this stage. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope in your calling. It says whether you are Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Presbyterian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, then we may be in different affirmations in the world, but we are in the one same Christ. It's very important. Too oftentimes, we have churches fighting against churches. And let me use this case in point, because I didn't mention a couple other churches like the Mormons or even the Jehovah Witnesses in this statement. I didn't mention them because their foundational teaching different from the biblical teaching of salvation. So therefore, since their foundational teaching on how to receive salvation. Now, I guess I need to clarify what salvation is. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. So all of us were already condemned. Period. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. We were all condemned. So when Jesus came on the scene, he said, think not that I've come to condemn the world. He didn't have to come to judge the world in his first coming because we were already judged. Came that we might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that judgment of condemnation, which ultimately led a person to eternal damnation, eternal separation from the Father by being cast into what is called hell. And hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, if hell is so big, as the Bible records, that hell has enlarged herself, that means many souls are going to it. But in all of that, hell itself don't be cast into the lake of fire. That's a big lake. If hell is already huge and it's constantly growing, that's a big lake. But that's what's going to transpire. So salvation come to spare us from that eternal judgment. Now, that's simple, right? That's simple. Then the Bible tells us But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. If I'm already judged and hell is the outcome, but there's a gift that's going to allow me to escape that. A gift now, you know. Y'all think about your Christmas present to go back and pay for. They would give it. You know, you had a birthday party, people came with presents. You got up Christmas morning and your parents had gifts there. All you had to do was unwrap it. You had to open it up. You ever had a gift that was under the tree, those of you that do trees, that you didn't see? And you thought you had all your gifts? And somebody said, hold up, wait a minute, there's one more. And you was excited about what you opened up. But then they said, wait a minute, there's one more. That's how it is when you really get into Christ. You begin to open up Christ and you find out, wow. But sometimes we get complacent. And we think that's it. But God is infinite. And he said, hold on, there's more. And hopefully tonight I'm sharing with you there's more. So in God we have assurance. In God, there's consistency. In God, there's stability. And we in God should be Christ-like, since Christ is the very image of God. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, which means to be Christ-like, then we're to reflect the image and behavior of Christ. And that gives us a level of independency, which we have individual responsibility that comes from being mature in God. And that independency that we take on gives us the ability to go and reproduce again. What are we reproducing? We are reproducing the transformation that took place in us in someone else. In other words, we're adding to the body of Christ by being open with others. That's why our testimony is so important. As we share, and true enough, some of our testimonies are not for the masses. You can't tell everybody some of the stuff you did. Let that be covered by the blood. It's been washed. You've been cleansed. Let that be that. Don't tell everything. But every now and then, God will bring certain people in your path that have done everything. And they need to know that God will save them too. And the only way they're going to know it is once you share about the muck and mire clay that you came up out of. And when they see your life, that you're living clean, you're not riding dirty, that you're living a clean life and a productive life, to give them hope to know that they can be saved too. Thereby, they get that not just from being behind what's in the four walls of a building. They get that from the connection of people. That's why it's important for the assembly of ourselves together. Because I may see you in church today, less than $100. And because I'm faithful to God and obedient, I may put in action what I call the slide ministry. Yes, yes, Brother Charles, it's called a slide ministry. Why is it called a slide ministry? Because when I come and shake your hand and hug your neck, I slid that $100 bill in your hand. And so because you're smart, your hand folded up, your hand balled it up just like if you were reaching in the cookie jar. Your hand was open when it came, when it went in, but when it came out, them fingers was, they was holding some cookies. You gonna hold on to that bill, and I'm gonna tell you, tell God thank you. And I'm gonna keep on going because that was between you and God. I just obeyed the Lord. We ain't have to make no grand announcement to the whole world that I just gave you $100. There ain't nobody business. The Lord told me to give it. And I realized I only had it because he allowed me to go out and get it, and I was able to come back with it. They told me to give it to you, and because I'm faithful as a student, I'm faithful as a steward, I'm faithful as a son, deposit that into your hand with a smile and a hug and tell you go and be blessed. And I don't know that you and your wife were just praying that you need some gas money in your vehicle, and you need to pay a bill that was about to be cut off. I don't know that you have some food that you need to buy to feed your children. I don't know that you were down to your last and didn't know how you were going to make it. But because of being in the right place at the right time, the connection happened because. And I know I'm talking good. Because when Jesus was walking through the city and people crowded around, here he comes. Here's the miracle worker. He's coming. The son of David, Joseph's son, the carpenter. He's coming. And everybody pulling on him. There was a woman who was ostracized. In other words, she was not allowed to be in the crowd of the city because she was considered unclean. Because she had a bleeding condition that would not allow her to go into the temple to worship God. Ain't that strange? She had a condition that they said was to the point that she couldn't even go to church. She couldn't even go and worship. And she tried to get help, and she spent all the money that she had trying to get help, and she still wasn't made better. But she heard that Jesus was coming near her. The Bible records that she made up in her mind before she left the house, if I can get to him and just touch the bottom of his clothes, the little tassel that's hanging from his garment. If I can get there and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. See, she went to church. She didn't stay home. There wasn't no bedside Baptist. No. She made up in her mind, I'm getting in the midst of this. And it was in that place, it was in that circumstance that she pressed her way through the crowd. I don't know, maybe she got down on her hands and knees and got close to the street where he was crossing. And she touched as he went by. And her faith was so strong that the virtue of healing was demanded to come from him. Demanded. Not requested, but demanded. And Jesus had to say, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody just didn't come to hear the choir. Somebody just didn't come to see what new outfit was being worn. No, somebody came for a genuine encounter. And he said, who touched me? That's a question we could ask ourselves today. When was the last time we touched Jesus? I'm going to keep on going. I ain't going to park now. I'm not going to park now. I ain't trying to start nothing right now. But when was the last time your faith actually touched Jesus? Have your faith after salvation touched Jesus? Or since salvation? Mm-hmm. And because she felt her condition dry up in her, she heard him say, who? Guilty as charged, she felt the need to say, it was me. So testimony service went on right then. Because the disciples said, Lord, anybody touching you? No. Some people go to church, but they ain't touching God. They ain't touching the Lord. Everybody around you ain't really trying to just be around you. They're there for a whole nother reason. And see, when we go to church, it should be to have an encounter with Almighty God. Thank God for the neighbors that come. Thank God for the friends, the family, all of those that come. Thank God for the fellowship. Thank God for being able to kick it and laugh with one another and all of that. But did you touch Jesus? Now, let me slow down because I'm supposed to be teaching, and I really feel like preaching right now after that. So the woman received that, and the Lord tells her because of her faith, she's made whole. She ain't just healed. She's made whole. Why is she made whole? She's made whole because her condition was a sickness, but her mental status, her mental statement, seriously sick, had took a toll on her that she had to be whole, both mind, body, and spirit. She needed a whole transformation. A little dab wasn't going to do it. She needed it out. So let me digress and go back to the text. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, reads as follows. There is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But there's that conjunction. Usually when we hear but, it's preceded by something that's going to be very important than what was said prior. And what was said prior was something just wonderful, magnificent. But there's the word but. So let's pay attention to it. But unto every one of us is, not will be, not maybe, but unto some of us, no, that ain't what it says, preacher, but unto those that have suffered, no, that ain't what it says, preacher. Those of us that was born on this side of the track, no, that is not what it says, preacher. It says, preacher, verse 7, but unto everyone, say it like I said, all of us, all of us, all of them, everybody, unto every one of us is given grace. Now, I pause right here, even though it continues. It's God unmerited favor. Grace is the thing that we do not deserve and can never earn. Grace. And he says to us, to all of us, is given grace. That means to that no good scoundrel that you don't like and you wonder when God going to judge him, he's been given grace. That's why they just still there. To that cousin that comes around and you say, oh, what lie he going to tell today? Hey, he's been given grace. Because God has given them space, time, and opportunity to repent. But let me keep on going. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That means he understands where you are mentally. He understands where you are intelligently. And he knows when you have an understanding. And so grace will give you, grace is there for you until that proper understanding comes. See, some people can hear the gospel, and because they're not out trying to live any type of lifestyle, they will receive it. They may even receive it right away. But there's some others that have some hardship and gone through some of the worst things of life. It's going to take them hearing the gospel a little bit more than you raising the tone of your voice and playing a keyboard behind it. Yeah, and he died. Okay, they're going to need a little bit more than that. And so grace is there for that individual. So grace is there for all of us. Grace is provided for all mankind. So now we go to verse 11. And this is the structure of the church. And that means there's a whole lot of stuff that came before. So take time to study this chapter. And he gave some. He didn't give all. God has no respect of person. Yes, but he got respect of position. He knows who's able to do what. That's why the story of the talent, he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. Why? Because the one that had two can't handle five. And the one that had one, if he would have had five, they would have been buried too. Let me keep on going. So verse 11 says, And he gave some. Those that are responsible for the development of the church and keeping of the statutes of God. So, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. So this is the structure of the fivefold ministry. All churches don't have these five positions. And that's okay, because all churches are not called to operate in these five positions. You know, when you go to the emergency room, the doctor there is a general practitioner. So they know how to touch on many things, but they are not a specialist on certain things. So they help you to a point to get you out of a emergency, then send you to a doctor specialized in this area, that area. So all doctors are not brain surgeons. Matter of fact, all doctors can't be surgeons. Because if you're a surgeon, you have to have steady hands. And Brother Six, we here on the Six Eyes Radio Network always talking about the coffee club. Well, none of us qualify to be surgeons. Because coffee can make you have jitters. That means your hand trembles, even though you can't see it. But put a piece of paper in your hand and lay it cross flat. All of a sudden, you think your hand is still, and you see the edges of the paper start to move. You're like, stop! And it's still moving. Because we drank coffee. So there's little micro movements that we don't even realize that's taking place in our life. So there's some things that happen with apostles that prophets don't know. There's some things that happen with prophets that maybe some of the evangelists don't know. But all of them have their individual charge. All of them have their individual responsibility. Can a pastor prophesy? Absolutely. Can a teacher prophesy? Absolutely. But are they prophets? No. God can use you right now to speak something to a person that you had no knowledge of. That does not mean that you're a prophet. That simply means that you obeyed the Holy Spirit and he told you what to say and you said it. And it was a blessing. Go all the way back to verse 4. There's one body, one spirit. One body, one spirit. So if it's just one spirit, the one spirit that we have in common is the Holy Spirit. So if he's speaking to the prophet, he's speaking to the apostles, he's speaking to the evangelists, he's speaking to the pastors and the teachers, he's speaking to all of them. But it's still him. Somebody. I hope you're being blessed. Allow me to continue. So, verse 7 said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That means Christ, the one that decides who's going to do what and who's equipped to do what. Does not mean that he loves you any differently. And we respect those in leadership because of the charge that God has given them. And we have to read 12 to have that understanding. So God has given them this charge, and this is why we respect them and we honor them, because it's their job to perfect. So it says, for the perfecting of the saints. That's us, y'all, the Christians, the believers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work, just in case you didn't think you can be a saint, for the work of the ministry, that's the church now. The word ministry means finding a need and meeting it. So for the work of finding need, the strength to find needs and meet those needs, that's why there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How many bodies did we say there were? One. You, as a believer of Christ, you are added to this one body. And this one body is in Jesus Christ. And it says right here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if you be not the body of Christ, then you are not his. Then you are still in your sin, and condemnation is already upon you. Therefore, you are not saved. But if you are saved, then you are a part of the body of Christ. Period. Period. I don't care how good my ring finger look with the ring on it. Let me smash my pinky finger in the door. It's going to get my undivided attention. Period. Don't care how good the clothes that I got on. Don't care where I'm at. Let me hurt a member of my body enough to bleed. It is at that moment, no matter what's going on, where the blood is coming out at, that's what's going to get all of the undivided attention. Don't care how much I think value of this or that. It's still part of my body. So it's still valuable. It's still important. When we take a bath, let me make this personal because I don't want to. When I take a bath, I don't wash just my left side of my body. Now, I wash the whole body. I get in the shower, half of my body not in the shower, another half. I'm not going to wash you today because no. The whole body get washed. God loves us all. So just like we don't mistreat our bodies, we shouldn't mistreat one another because we are all part of the same body. Amen. And this is how long we're supposed to be doing this. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's why whatever ministry you go to, if y'all using the New King James, that's what you study. So that as a church, y'all say the same thing. It makes your conversations go well. and better. Because you don't sound strange when you're quoting scripture. You say the same thing. So when you join a ministry, know what that ministry is about. Take an opportunity, set up an appointment, meet one-on-one with the pastors. They may got cell groups where they have leaders to talk with you, encourage you. Understand the mission statement of that church. Because even if you're a faithful tither and God has truly blessed you, there may be some things that God wants you to do that until you actually have a conversation with the leaders and know the vision of the church, you may not be using the money that God has blessed you with the way he wants you to do. You don't have to go to China and Africa to witness the word. But you can send someone. You can be the reason why your team was able to send funds and resources to these countries that need it. You can be the reason why Bibles for the Blind have an opportunity to print these Bibles because of the seeds that you all have raised together to sow into other things. So there's a reason for the unity. The Bible talks about the early church coming together and people who had stuff didn't consider it just their own no more. They considered that it belongs to God. And so many were selling additional properties and bringing the funds to the apostles. And the apostles were good stewards because they set out amongst themselves to find out who was in need. And to those that was in need, they helped meet the need of those that was truly in need. If you're part of a ministry and you're faithful, there should never be a time you have to go a month with your lights out, a month without being able to pay your rent, your mortgage. I say, should not. Why? Because if you're faithful there, then God has taught you how to be a good steward. So you're not gambling your money away. You're not drinking your money away. You're not throwing your money away. So when you have an issue, that ministry don't have a problem with supporting you. Many people get mad at the church. They need to do this. They need to do that. And I had a guy say, these churches need to do this and this and this. All the poor people, these homeless, and they were talking all that. Man, the church need to do this. All the tithe they getting. I said, how you know how much tithe they getting? You pay tithe? No? All right, so that's something they ain't getting right there. But I guarantee you the club that you went to, they got their money at the door. He said, ooh. I said, yeah. Yeah, so you know how much money the club made because they charge you at the door. So if it was a $10 to get cover charge, you know if 200 people in there, you know they done made $2,000. They ain't getting none of that back to the community. Nevertheless, they done charge you three times the value of every drink. And you had five of them. Mm-hmm. They ain't getting none of that back to the community. But you want the church that still got a mortgage to pay, still have lights to pay, still have upkeep of the grounds and all of those things to pay, Oh, yeah, they have to pay for that because you walk past a piece of paper and say, why is somebody pick that up? That's a shame. But you saw it. You didn't pick it up. So you make the church pay somebody because you're between jobs and you won't even volunteer time to help clean the church or to work in the community or help the daycare. We have to change the way we think of church. The church is a community. We are the body of Christ. And as believers, our focus should be that which Jesus preached on. What did Jesus preach on? Jesus preached repentance. For the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what he preached. He preached that God's way of doing things was present. He preached that the benefit of heaven was now. But there was a teaching that went out. You don't have to have now. When you get to heaven, you're going to get it all then. So it lowered the people's expectation of wanting better and becoming better because you didn't understand that God wants you to have better right now. Beloved, above all things, I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. One and the same. God wants to bless you now. He don't want to wait till you get to heaven to bless you. That's why he says, you reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. According to your faith, be it done unto you. So you can't be mad at the person that climbed the highest mountain when you were scared to climb the molehill. Their faith caused them to do that. But guess what? When we come together, you want to lock your business. We're together. We're talking. We have fellowship. Men's meeting. I do a men's meeting every third Saturday of the month. It's amazing how many men say they want help or need help, but they miss the call. Many get on there, but so many of them miss. And it's everything that we're discussing, many times are the things that people are dealing with. And sometimes, men, we have that pride that we won't ask for help. Got to get it from the cell. Who told you that foolishness? The strong bear the infirmity of the weak. Sound like help to me. So I can't have better because I haven't surrounded myself around better. And I haven't gone after better. The beginning of the church is about a community. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not so that you can say that you're more righteous than this group or that group. But that as a group, able to fulfill the mission that God has given that group. So I want to encourage you tonight. I gave you Ephesians chapter 4. We read verses 4 through 7. And we read verses 11. And I'm going to read 11 and a couple more again just to close it out tonight. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers at the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that's understanding, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Fullness. That means some of us, we only getting a little bit of Christ, and Christ has so much more to offer. The fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, I'm a child of God. Yeah, but he don't want you to be an immature child. I'm a child, but I'm 50 plus. Pay my bills. I don't take my money to the casino or spend my money on things I cannot afford. Then ask my family to help me, to bail me out. Now, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sleight of men. So you got false teachers out there. You got false prophets out there. And cunningness, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So lying in wait to deceive a foolish Christian. Why? The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm done. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which is joint, supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Section of love. Jesus told them, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That word disciple means student, disciplined student. By this, that you will have love one to another. It's one thing to have love for somebody, but it really don't mean nothing until they get it. So our love is to be one to another. Hey, that is what I have to share with you on this evening. Got a few minutes. I'm going to open up the mics here and give some of you an opportunity. Now, if you press the 1, it'll show up on the board so that I can open your mic. If you'd like something to comment, ask a question concerning what was talked about this evening, please press 1, and I'll open up your mic.
Well, Pastor Bryant, that was a good message, and I like the one point that you made. It's not doing something, loving someone and being given love for them, but it's to them. That's the point that I'd like to take away right there.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Mr. Akan. Yeah, that is that. I can say all day long, I got $1 million for you over here, and don't do you no good till I get it to you. But I don't have $1 million for anybody right now. That's an illustration.
No,
right.
but you did say a while back that you were going to get us a donation for a Bible for a blind person, so we're waiting on that.
I am. And that's, I told you, in this month. I told you in March, and we just got into it. I forget not.
I know. I'm just having fun with you.
Amen. I have, I just opened up another line there on the area code 440. You have a comment?
Hello, Dad.
Hey. How you doing, Sister Emily? You got a comment? You got a takeaway? You have a question?
No, I just had to drop off the program for a bit, but I was listening through Dad's phone.
Okay.
I had to drop off because my mom was on, had called my phone. We need to be praying for this lady, Heather, that's a staff member up there where my mom's at.
Okay.
Mom said they called Code Blue. They don't know if it was Heather that went down or who, but they yelled Code Blue staff down.
Okay.
So
well,
she's asking that we be praying for Heather.
All right. Well, we ask the favor of God to be with her even now. We don't know the circumstance, but God knows. And we ask whatever it is that God will see to that the need and be able to be met, that what needs to be revealed so that healing will take place for Heather. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, someone else.
Amen.
Someone else.
Well,
what I was hearing, Dad, that was a good message.
Oh, okay. Thank you so very much. Did you have a takeaway from it before our next person speaks?
All I got to say, it was an ouch message tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, you can't say amen. That's what you say, ouch. And we
ouch
get in line.
And done.
Amen. Amen. Our next caller. Our next caller, please.
Great message overall. No one particular point. The whole message was good. I suggest everybody download by going to the podcast portion on their phone. In the search, type in Six Eyes, SIXEYES, Space Radio, RADIO, and download this episode and each other episode of Motivation and Money with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Great message overall. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you, Blue Six. Amen. Well, with that being said, I hope all of you enjoyed this message on this evening. Wes Morgan has a song called He Paid It All. He said, you paid it all. And that's just a reminder to us, you know. You know, if I take you out to dinner and I say, come on, let's go eat, you know, and I pay for it, that's a good thing that I paid for it. But it would be an insult to me who paid for your dinner for you to sit there and let all the food sit on the plate and you not consume what I'm paying for. There's so much more God has to offer to us. He paid it all. So let us consume what he's given us.
unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life.
I never knew of love so true. You gave your life.
You gave
but
your life.
Still I hurt you.
Still I hurt
so many
you.
Times.
So many times I crucified you. Forgive me for my sin.
He paid it all, amen. And speaking of paying, amen, to those of you that would like to continue to help programming like this, you can always go to our online site there on Blog Talk, and you'll see those contribution avenues through PayPal and through Cash App. You are more than welcome to give. as we close tonight, we're going to ask Missionary Ken to also give you some additional information on how you may add support to the programming of providing Bibles for the blind. Ken, if you'll give that, and we're closing after that.
All right. If you out there would like to get a Bible into the hands of a blind person, whether audio, large print, etc., you've got several options. There are three options you can use. First off, for those who have a PayPal account, you go to PayPal, you enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's the digit 2. Then you spell the word 4, F is Frank, O is Oscar, R is Randy, digit number 1. Then Katie, K is Kite, A is Apple, T is Tom, I is an Indian, E is Elephant, @gmail.com, 2for1katie@gmail.com. And then you just enter in your love gift there and let us know in your note to us that it is for a Bible for a blind person. And we will take, and if it's a large enough donation, we will definitely put your name with that Bible when we put it in the hands of a blind person. Second avenue you got is if you don't have a PayPal account but you do have a credit card, you could go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. You go to the bottom of the homepage there where it says love offerings, and you can use your credit card. And the same thing applies. Let us know that you're getting a Bible for a blind person. And then the third option, you could use our contact page, and you'll get the snail mail information for sending a check through the postal mail, and you just write that check payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And just on your memo line of your check, let us know that you're doing it for a Bible for a blind person. And in all three cases, we thank you at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and we know that the Lord will bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we close out tonight, we want to thank all of you for lending us some of your time. We pray that that it was enriching to you, that it was a blessing to you. And we look forward to sharing with you again, either on this program or on one of the other programs, reminding you not to text and drive. Remember that as we close out today.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Good night, all.